Brothers and sisters, I'm coming to you today with a heavy heart. I'm coming to you with a burden that has been laid on me by the Spirit of God. And it's a concern for our country, our families, our schools, our children, and our society as a whole. You know, we must realize as children of God that there are consequences for disobeying God, consequences for sinning against God, consequences for doing evil. So many people, even those who are Christians, have a wrong attitude. They have a wrong perspective of what happens when we sin and disobey God. So many people, even children of God, don't believe that there will be any consequences for their actions and disobedience. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say that there won't be consequences. It says just the opposite. There were consequences for Adam and Eve when they disobeyed God. There were consequences for Cain when he murdered his brother. The flood in Noah's day was a consequence for wickedness, and the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah was a consequence for sin. People will say these examples are in the Old Testament before Christ came and shed his blood to pay our sin debt. But you'll find examples now. You'll find them in the New Testament also. In Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira sold a possession and were to give the full price to the apostles, who would distribute the money to those who had need. But they held back part of the price of the possession for themselves. And Ananias laid the money at Peter's feet. Peter asked him why he had lied to the Holy Spirit and held back part of the money. Now at that moment, Ananias fell dead on the ground. Then Sapphira came in, not knowing what had happened to her husband. And when she was asked how much the possession was sold for, she also lied and immediately fell dead at Peter's feet. Throughout the New Testament letters, Paul warns the churches against disobedience to God. Whether consequences are immediate or years in coming, know this, there will be consequences for sinning against God. I'm coming to you today with a message that the Lord has laid on my heart as a warning and as an instruction for God's church, for the church today. This message is not a message that you will hear most preachers and church pastors ever preach, because it offends people, brothers and sisters. It corrects people. It instructs people in righteousness. It informs people of their sin attitude in their daily life, their family life, and their church life. It seems now that church leaders and pastors don't want to mention these things in fear of offending someone who pays their salary. I don't have that fear. My fear is not in obeying God. That's where my fear is not obeying God. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Make no mistake now, if there is sin in your heart, God's word, it will offend you. Today, we will be continuing a study of the scriptures having to do with the changes in our society and our culture that has put us on a downhill path to corruption and abandonment of a moral foundation. Now, I want you to listen to me real close. This is such a serious a message today, a message that God has led me to, that I feel this nation needs to hear these things. You know, our foundation has been uprooted, and those being affected most are our younger generations. Our children are suffering from an education system that is indoctrinating them against morality. They are suffering from an entertainment system that is urging them to practice immorality, and a drug and video game culture that is making them insensitive to the value of human life. The biblical principles that this country was founded on have, like a rug now, been pulled out from under them. They have no sure foundation to build on. There are no absolute truths to guide them. They don't know the difference between right and wrong. And it isn't because of the things people blame tragedies on. Guns aren't to blame. Neither is mental illness or psychiatric drugs, the FBI or school security policies. Children who grew up in the past several generations don't know right from wrong because they weren't taught right from wrong. They have had no moral foundation on which to base their actions and reactions. They have no moral basis for their thinking. Therefore, they have no reason to behave morally. It's like the school shooting in Broward County, Florida, or any mass shooting, whether it's a school or a public place, anywhere in this country. The first thing out of the mouths of our leaders is gun control. Then, as the conversation progresses, questions are asked. Did the shooter take any kind of psychiatric drugs that would cause him to do such a thing? Had the shooter joined? Had he joined up with a radical group of some kind? Or did the shooter have some kind of mental illness? You know, you can place the blame anywhere you want. But the only true explanation is that the removal of God, Bible reading and prayer, first from our schools, then from the rest of society, has rendered this country a den of iniquity. Now, brothers and sisters, if you are a child of God, by what the Bible says throughout the Old Testament and throughout all the letters, and when Paul came to the churches in the New Testament telling them to beware of what was going to come in because ravenous wolves were going to come in. And that is what is happening in our society today, brothers and sisters. And if you are a child of God, you should be able to recognize these things. You know, before we get to our scripture text for today, I want to put some things now in perspective for you. In the first 6 months of 2016, over 500,000 babies. Now listen to these statistics. This is in the first 6 months of 2016. Over 500,000 babies were murdered by abortion, and a little over 5,000 people now were murdered with a gun. Yet now, people scream gun control every time there's some kind of shooting. Something is seriously wrong with this picture. It exemplifies our inability to identify cause and effect. It illustrates our lack of morality, and it identifies the path of societal decay and destruction that we're on. How did we get in this shape, brothers and sisters, in all of the talking and analyzing that has been done since the school shooting in Florida, I've only heard one person correctly identify the problem. Jack Brewer, a former NFL star and member of the Parkland, Florida community, where this shooting took place, argued that America's youth, listen to what he says, that America's youth needs a new foundation. He said these kids, they need prayer, and these kids need a new foundation besides social media, besides the music that they listen to that's polluting their minds. Then he added, these were not issues when I grew up 20 years ago. Now I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, I can tell you, they weren't issues when I grew up 50 years ago or when my kids grew up 30 years ago. But the seeds were planted back then, and this is where it is led. In the 1960s and early 1970s, the Supreme Court of this nation took prayer and Bible reading out of our schools, then made abortion legal. We are reaping what has been sown. Now, removing prayer and Bible reading from our schools is the cause of what we are seeing today. And the solution isn't gun control or drug control or psychiatric counseling or more government programs. It isn't any of these things. It's putting prayer. Now listen to what I'm telling you. It's putting prayer and Bible reading back in our schools, in our government, in our society. That is the solution to it, brothers and sisters. Now let's look at our scripture text for today. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to follow along as we study this scripture. If you don't have your Bible handy now, please write the scripture down and study what it says. Study these scriptures. It's a very important scripture that identifies the cause of all the problems in our society today and the remedy for those problems. Now, if you're a child of God, if you're one that believes in the one true and living God that our Bible proclaims, then you should believe what the Bible says. But yet, we don't act like we do. Now, our scripture today, it comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 4 and 9. And the Word of God reads, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou, now listen to what it says, my brothers and sisters, do you believe the Bible? And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, in your houses, in our houses, and when thou walkest by the way, that is through the day, and when thou liest down, and when that's when we go to bed at night, that's when we rest and we close our eyes and go to sleep, and when thou risest up, that is of a morning, brothers and sisters, we're to have God on our mind, and that he is in our heart continually. And thou shalt bind them for a sign. Now listen to what it says. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Now in verse 4, Moses makes a simple proclamation to Israel here. The Lord our God is one Lord. The God Moses speaks of here is the one true God, the creator of the universe. He's a living and personal God known only by revelation. God reveals himself in Scripture. We can read about his attributes. He is perfectly holy, righteous, just, all-seeing, all-knowing, all-powerful. Now I'm going to tell you, God reveals himself in his creation. Romans 1 and 20 says, For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. We can read the scriptures and we can learn about God's attributes and we can observe nature and declare that God exists. But only by revelation in the hearts of his children can God be known on a personal and spiritual level. Only by revelation can God's word be understood and his truths known. In Matthew 16, Jesus asked Peter, Whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus said, No man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal. People can know about God, and they can know that God exists by means of observation and intellect. But truly knowing God personally is by revelation. But now generations of young people in this country, they don't know God by any of these means, not any of them. They don't know the God of the Scriptures, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and Jacob, because they don't read the Scriptures. They don't know the God that created the universe from nature because they have been taught that the universe evolved. And they don't know God by revelation. The reason I know that is because they don't exhibit any of the characteristics of a child of God or any of the fruits of the Spirit. Now, why is that? Why is it? In Joshua chapter 4, when the children of Israel had passed over the river Jordan into the promised land, Joshua commanded them to take 12 stones out of the midst of the river, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And he instructed them and told them to place them where they would lodge that night. Joshua explained to them that this may be a sign among you that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Those children could look back at what those stones meant. Brothers and sisters, in this country, we are, as parents and grandparents, supposed to look back and show our children where we have come from and what this country was founded upon. But we haven't done that. Then he says, Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones, now he's talking about these stones that they erected right there. These stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. You know, it was important for each generation of the children of Israel to know how God divided the waters of the Jordan River and brought them to the promised land on dry ground. Brothers and sisters, it's very, very important that our children today know where we come from, where our heritage came from, what this country was founded upon, what this country stands upon, and that's the Word of God. These stones were a reminder for the story to be told to each generation so they would know what God had done for them. We have a Declaration of Independence and a Constitution that establishes this country on the principles of God. They are a constant reminder of our foundation, but we must teach it to our children. Otherwise, they don't know it, brothers and sisters. Proverbs 22nd chapter and the 6th verse says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. The way our children are being trained today is a good indication of how they will be when they are older. That is scary. That's a scary thought. A scary thought. Children today who are brought up without morals will be adults tomorrow without morals. The only remedy is in our scripture text. In verse 5, Moses declares now, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. How many people do you meet each day who love God in this way? The only way you could know is in the way they speak of God, the way they act, the way they treat their fellow man, the kind of language they use, and the moral example they set for others to follow. Moses illustrates the only way God can be loved with all the heart, all the soul, and all the might when he gives the Israelites this command in verse 6 through 9 of our text. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And shall, now what, that's what he said, teach them diligently, brothers and sisters, unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. First, now Moses says, the words of the Lord shall be in thine heart. David said in Psalms 119, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. David didn't just hear the word of the Lord spoken or read it in the scrolls. He committed it to memory. He preserved it in his heart as a treasure. He meditated on it day and night. And why did he do this? So that he might not sin against God. God's word is the most powerful weapon against sin. Second, Moses tells the Israelites, thou shalt teach God's words diligently unto thy children. Notice that Moses doesn't just command the Israelites now to teach their children the word of God. He says, teach them diligently. They were to be attentive and persistent in the teaching of God's word. The purpose of the teaching was to accomplish something. We had the chance to do that, but then one atheist complained, only one, and the Supreme Court removed God's word and prayer from our schools. What followed in the next 10 years was legalized murder of babies in the womb. The Israelites were charged with making sure their children learned God's words. Moses instructed them to talk of God's word when thou sittest in thine house, at mealtime, or leisure time, or any time that presents an opportunity. Talk to your children about what God's word says. Moses says, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, when you're on a journey, when you lie down to go to sleep, and when you get up in the morning, at the beginning of the day, all through the day, and at the end of the day. Talk about what God's word says to your children. Finally, now Moses says, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. The Jews in Moses' day and in Jesus' day wore small black cubes on their arms and also on their foreheads, and these cubes contained parchment on which scriptures were written. They carried these scriptures, carried them with them wherever they went. And they wrote scriptures on parchment paper that was attached to the doorposts and gates of their houses, so they would see them. And why did they do that for? And they wanted to see these when they left their houses and when they came back in. The words of the Lord were ever before them, ever before them. They were a constant reminder of the laws of the Lord and the moral things they should do to live godly lives. But what about those who are not God's children? How is teaching morality going to affect them? And I'm sure we ask things like that. We as human beings, we ask those things. All you have to do is talk to the older generation, your grandparents and great-grandparents, if they are still living. They will tell you about a time when America was a moral country. It was accepted by society to be moral. When something was frowned upon by society as a whole, then those who were inclined to practice what was immoral were discouraged from doing so. Now, even people who didn't go to church and didn't profess to be Christians lived more morally than they do today, because that was what society expected of them during that day, and that is what they were taught at school. Don't cheat. Don't steal. Don't tell lies. Obey your parents and teachers. Bible reading in school and prayer in school, we had it every morning before we ever started our classes. And we all knew that there would be consequences if we didn't obey the rules of our elders. Now, daily attention to the words of the Lord kept the Israelites from sinning against God. When they neglected these practices of keeping God's word ever before them, they became lax in teaching God's word and in keeping his commandments. The farther they failed from the word of God, the more sinful and adulterous they became. God's word taught them the difference between truth and error, right and wrong. Without God's word, they fell into all manner of wickedness and evil. They abandoned God's word and began to mingle with and intermarry with pagan nations. They adopted pagan practices, worshiped pagan idols, and sacrificed their children to pagan gods. Now I'm going to tell you, today, whether you believe it or not, today, every time a child is murdered, it is a sacrifice to Baal. Every aborted child is a sacrifice to Baal. Whether you believe it or not, that's exactly what it is. The Israelites abandoned God's word and went whoring after other gods, and so have we. We as Christians must learn to distinguish between good and evil. There are only two forces in the world, the force of good and the force of evil. Jesus told the rich young ruler, "There is none good but God. God is the only source of goodness. He's the only source of truth." God's truth is absolute. It is unchanging. Satan is the source of evil, and any God that is not the one true living God is a satanic God. Now Jesus says of Satan in John 10, "He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." God cannot lie, and Satan cannot tell the truth. The problem today is that so many people in this country don't know the difference in right and wrong. They don't know the difference in the truth and a lie. And why is that? Because they haven't been taught. They have no foundation, brothers and sisters. But even among church-going people, there is no real devotion to Scripture. Even pastors and church leaders don't seem to believe. They don't seem to believe that God's word is sufficient. They want to supplement biblical teaching with secular entertainment. They don't seem to believe that the Spirit of God and the preaching of the word is sufficient in the appealing to unbelievers. They insist on adding music and drama and comedy, motivational talks, and so many other things. We talked about this now last week. The church seems to depend on worldly activities to attract unbelievers. Then they have to use worldly activities to keep them there. The modern church has to change with the times to keep up with the interest of those they're trying to draw into the church. God does not change, I'm telling you. His truth does not change. His word does not change. It's Satan who changes with the times and uses lies and deceit and trickery. Lies, deceit, and trickery. That's what we're seeing in bringing these people into the church. We are deceiving those people. You know, that pretty much sums up the tactics of the modern church. lies, deceit, and trickery. In the meantime, even our young people who attend church on a regular basis are not being given a foundation based on a biblical God. Did you know that our kids are being taught things that are not in the Bible? They're being taught that they can make choices, that they have the right to make choices, and that's what's happening throughout our culture today. Those kids are making those choices, they're being taught that God wants them to be able to make choices. The Bible teaches that the only choices God's children can make is whether or not to serve Him and whether to be obedient or disobedient children. But because of this teaching, our children are choosing if they want to be gay or lesbian. Boys as young as elementary school age are choosing to be girls. We're seeing that all over this country now. It's not infiltrated us right in this particular region right here as much so as it has in some other states. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, it's on its way. And girls are choosing to be boys. We're seeing that all over this country today now. They're choosing to go through gender reassignment, and there is nothing parents can do about it. The government tells them they can't. They're being taught about a God who is a beggar, who pleads with them to make a choice to accept Him and is too weak to save them without their help. This God they're being taught about is a God who loves everyone, good people and evil people alike. This God sent them a Savior who can't save them unless they let Him. He shed His blood in vain because some of them will go to hell anyway. This poor, pitiful God is powerless to keep them from living depraved lives. And the preacher who preaches this God preaches tolerance of sin and inclusion in the church, no matter how sinful the lifestyle. This is the reason we have so many problems in our society today. We have created a culture devoid of the God of the Bible and His laws. This is why we have school shootings now, is what I'm telling you. Our children don't know what is good and what is evil because they can only learn to distinguish good from evil by studying the Bible, by some good Bible reading teacher or preacher or someone that will teach them the Bible. You know, our children play video games where they violently kill people. Repetition of such behavior renders them insensitive to killing and able to kill without remorse. Our children, they watch movies that are bloody and violent. They listen to music that depicts killing as glorious and heroic. Their idols are people who dress in black, paint their fingernails and lips black, and wear satanic jewelry. It's no wonder our young people are in the shape they're in. We've taken God out of our society and turned the devil loose with our children. And you know what we've done? We've brought him into our homes where our children can watch him on television. These satanic movies that come in, these people that promote gay rights, these people that promote abortion. And we see that coming into our homes, brothers and sisters. We've brought the devil in and we've pushed God out. Young people who don't have a solid biblical foundation easily become addicted to social media and video games, sex and drugs and alcohol. The Bible is sufficient for teaching about the dangers in all of these things and for teaching and for giving our children a sense of reasoning out the good and the bad. Social media helps families keep in touch with one another. Some video games can be educational, but only an education in biblical principles can teach our children how to discern when something that is used for good becomes evil. Now, the problem with most people is that most of us, especially Christians, won't agree with what I'm telling you here today. But what I'm telling you can be backed up, brothers and sisters, it can be backed up with Scripture. Throughout the Old and throughout the New Testaments. If you don't believe me, search the Scripture. Search them or listen to this message again or get in touch with me and I'll show you what the Scripture says. Almost everyone you ask is inclined to assess blame for the tragedies and the evils in this country to issues unrelated to the root cause. We blame guns, mental illness, psychiatric drugs, abusive parents, a difficult childhood, poor teachers, poverty, anything except the real cause. Our country is a lawless, immoral country because we have abandoned the laws of God. We've eliminated the only source of goodness and truth and morality. How can we possibly have goodness and truth and morality, these things in our society, without reinstating the source from which all good comes, and that is God and His holy word. Now, brothers and sisters, we must teach our children right from wrong, right from wrong. We must teach them that actions have consequences, and they must take responsibility for their actions. It may take a while to get the Bible back in our schools and our government, but we have the authority as Christians to make sure the Bible is taught and followed in our homes. Now, if you don't believe what I'm saying, you let this continue. If you don't think this is going to happen and get worse, let this continue. Bring that corruption into your home. Let your children watch it. Don't supervise them. Don't teach them about the Bible, and you're going to see it get worse. I promise you, brothers and sisters, it's going to get so bad that you won't know this country 10 years, 20 years, 30, 40 years from now. Hey, I'm telling you, this country is on a slide, and it cannot come back unless it returns to God. We have fallen away from the one true and living God. And you know, brothers and sisters, our children might not be taught moral values in school, but we can make sure they are being taught those things at home. But the most important thing is not just teaching morals, it is practicing good morals. They can see what you do. They can see what I do. They can see what their teachers do. And this is an example to our children, and making sure that they know that practicing good morals is what we expect of them. If that is the truth, and if that's what they see and that's what they practice, we're not going to see killers put out here on the streets. We're not going to see all these drug addicts that we're seeing now. Now, if all of God's people would do these things, it would be a big step in getting this country back on the right track. May the Lord bless you today, brothers and sisters.